Okay, welcome all of you once again. Thank you everyone for joining this Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today's Srimad Bhagavatam class on verse 4.23.27 onwards will be given by His Grace Sukumar Gaur Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, you are there on the call.
Can you hear me, Mataji? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavas Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. Yes, Prabhuji, we can hear you. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time and association in this conference call. We are really fortunate to hear from you, Prabhuji, on this day. Thank you so much, and you can take over the call, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So we'll start with the shloka and then we'll recite the Mangalacharan. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 23, Text 27. Tesham durapam kimpanyam martyana bhagavata padam bhuvi lola yushu yevai nishkarmyam satyantyuta. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Iti Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: in this material world, every human being has a short lifespan, but those who are engaged in devotional service go back home, back to Godhead, for they are actually on the path of liberation. For such person, there is nothing which is not available. Purport: in Bhagavad Gita 9.33, Lord Krishna says, Anitya asukam lokam imam prapya bhajasvama. The Lord here declares that this material world is full of miseries, asukam, and at the same time it is very flickering, anitya. Therefore, one's only duty is to engage himself in devotional service. This is the best end to which human life can be put. Those devotees who are constantly engaged in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord achieve not only all material benefits, but also all spiritual benefits. For at the end of life, they go back home, back to Godhead. Their destination is described in this verse as Bhagavat Padam. The word Padam means abode. Bhagavat means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, the destination of the devotees is the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this verse, the word Naishkarmyam, which means transcendental knowledge, is also significant. Unless one comes to the platform of transcendental knowledge and offers devotional service to the Lord, one is not perfect. Generally, the process of Jnana, Yoga and Karma are executed life after life before one gets a chance to render pure devotional service to the Lord. This chance is given by the grace of a pure devotee. And in this way, only that one can actually attain liberation. In this context of this narration, the wives of the demigod repented all because although they had opportunity of a birth in a higher planetary system, a lifetime spanning millions of years, and all material comforts, they were not as fortunate as Prithu Maharaj and his wife, who were actually surpassing them. In other words, Prithu Maharaj and his wife scorned promotion to the higher planetary systems and even to Brahmaloka, because the position which they were attaining was incomparable. In Bhagavad Gita 8.16, the Lord affirms, A Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartino Arjuna. From the highest planet in the material world to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death takes place. In other words, even if one goes to the highest planet, Brahmaloka, he then returns to the miseries of birth and death. In the 9th chapter, 9.21, Lord Krishna asserts, Tetvam bhuktva svargalokam vishalam, kshine punye martilokam vishanti. When they have thus enjoyed heavenly sense pleasures, they return to this mortal planet again. Thus, after exhausting the results of pious activities, one has to come again to the lower planetary system and begin a new chapter of pious activities. It is therefore said in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.12, Naishkarmyam apya achyuta bhava varjitam. The path of liberation is not at all secure unless one attains the devotional service of the Lord. Even if one is promoted to the impersonal Brahman Jyoti, he runs the chance of falling into the material world. If it is possible to fall down from Brahmajyoti, which is beyond higher planetary systems in this material world, then what is to be said of the ordinary yogis and karmis who can only be elevated to the higher material planets? Thus the wives of the denizens of higher planetary system did not very much appreciate the results of karma, jnana and yoga. Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminath Namini Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadarini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram Ram Ram, Ram. Hare Krishna, we welcome all the devotees for this Bhagavatam class. So grateful to all of you for allowing me to make a presentation on this topic. It's a very wonderful episode of Prithu Maharaj. His pastime is now coming to an end. Now there's almost 9 chapters. And this is the last chapter which will deal with the history of Prithu Maharaj. If you see the entire history of Prithu Maharaj, it is everything about Prithu Maharaj is extraordinary. His appearance is extraordinary, all his activities are extraordinary, his disappearance is also extraordinary. Just like if we see from chapter 14 when King Vena is ruling and he gets killed by the Brahmana's curse. And then after that, the 15th chapter, King Vena's body is churned and Prithu Maharaj appears and his coronation takes place. Now if we compare King Vena and Prithu Maharaj, now Prithu Maharaj is born from the body of King Vena, who is the most cruel person. But then when he comes out from his body, he is the most extraordinary person and is full of all good qualities. So just we can see there is a huge difference between the qualities. Then in the 16th chapter, we see that he has been praised by the professional reciters. And then he says that, please let me do something and then you praise. Otherwise, it will be just a flattery. But on the contrary, if we see the characteristics of King Vena, he made a rule in the kingdom that no one will sing glories of any demigod or the Supreme Lord Sri Vishnu. I am the representative of the Supreme Lord and hence everybody has to sing my praise only. So that is the difference. So Maharaj is saying, let me do, then you praise me as the servant of Lord Vishnu. But here Vena is saying, only me, nobody else. And as we move further in his life, we see that his relationship with the devotees, his dealing with two prominent devotees is shown. In 17th chapter, his dealings with Mother Earth, who is a pure devotee of Lord Krishna. So now both are pure devotees. Prithu Maharaj is also a pure devotee. Mother Earth is also a pure devotee. But Prithu Maharaj gets so angry that he tells Mother Earth that if you don't support me, I'll kill you. And then the entire episode goes through and both of them come to a mature conclusion and they support each other in serving the mission of the Lord. So that is one aspect. Second, 18th chapter, then he milks the earth. And nobody has done this ever before. Milking the earth and getting all the supplies that are required. And he gets all his needs and then he feeds his praja and the praja is happy to have him as the king. And in the 19th chapter, we see that Prithu Maharaj is performing 100 Ashwamedha yajnas. And again, he has to deal with one more devotee who is a Karma Mishra Bhakta, is Indra. And again, Prithu Maharaj is ready to kill Indra. But then in between, Brahmaji comes and he stops the 100 yajnas, the last yajna, and he is told to forgive Indra, whereas Indra is the one who has made mistake. For no mistake of his, he is told to forgive and take a back seat. But by doing so, see the result is so beautiful. By doing so, by just taking one step behind and trying to please the authorities, at 99, he gets the benefit of performing 100 Ashwamedha yajnas. But what's the use? King Indra won the throne of the higher planets. But Prithu Maharaj won the kingdom of the heart of the Lord just by sacrificing one Ashwamedha yajna. Bali Maharaj also performed 100 Ashwamedha yajnas, but he is still in this material world. But after performing 99 Ashwamedha yajnas, Prithu Maharaj is now in this 23rd chapter, he is going back to the spiritual world. And just by satisfying the authorities, immediately Lord Vishnu appears there in the 28th chapter. And then after he meets Lord Vishnu in the 21st chapter, he gives instruction to the citizens. And in the 22nd chapter, Prithu Maharaj meets the four Kumaras and then he takes instruction from the four Kumaras. 21st chapter, he is instructing. And just to set an example, in the 22nd chapter, he himself is taking instructions from the authorities. And then this is the final chapter, 23rd chapter. Prithu Maharaj now retires timely and practices Bhakti Yoga and is going back to Godhead. So when he leaves the kingdom to move towards the forest to take the Vanaprastha life, the entire kingdom is following him. So can you imagine the amount of popularity that he shared and the good space that he shared in the heart of the entire kingdom? So his entire life is like action-packed movie with all churning of emotions. Just like when you see the life of a superstar, it is filled with so many thrilling events. And every time he posts something on his Facebook or any account, immediately thousands and thousands of likes, and people are constantly watching where he is going, what he is doing. And that is how a person, a famous person, tries to keep his followers engaged in his activities. And that is what Prithu Maharaj has done here. Every now and then, there are so many things that are happening. Everybody is glued to what's coming next in the life of Prithu Maharaj. And that is how people were easily following him, because they had accepted him as a role model, a real life hero. And if you see, there are three people we would like to focus on. First is Vena and Indra and Prithu Maharaj. All three of them had strength. But Vena used his ultimate, every bit of his strength just for sense enjoyment, which is the grossest kind of pleasure. If you see Indra is using all his strength to keep his post and his fame, which is the subtle enjoyment. But Prithu Maharaj, he gave up everything exclusively for the service of Lord Vishnu. And just by serving Lord Vishnu, sense enjoyment also came, name fame also came, power position, everything just followed Prithu Maharaj, because he used every bit of his strength to serve Lord Vishnu. So not only private victory, public victory and private victory, both are important. Because he conquered his internal space, and because he conquered his internal space, his external space also, he became a great success. We don't see that in case of Indra, because Indra, he didn't conquer himself internally, so externally he was so attached that he fought tooth and nail, and ultimately Lord Vishnu had to bring him with him. And indirectly through Prithu Maharaj, he was chastising not Prithu Maharaj but Indra. And that is where Indra understood that I made a great mistake. And after this top performance, he gets award. What award did he get? He got the direct darshan of Lord Vishnu. And not only that, by his behavior, Lord Vishnu was so affected that Lord Vishnu wanted, after giving instruction, he wanted to leave. But he couldn't move because he was so deeply affected by the entire personality of Prithu Maharaj, that Lord Vishnu stayed there. Never in times when Lord Vishnu appears here, he doesn't put his foot on the earth. But this time, Prithu Maharaj put his foot on the earth, and since he was not used to it, he had to take shelter of, he had to take the help of Garudji for balancing. This is what Acharya said. So that was his affection. And then Lord Vishnu gives him the topmost gift. He gives him the association of his pure devotees, the four Kumaras. And now in this 23rd chapter, which is the end of the story of Prithu Maharaj, he takes to the Vanaprastha life, because the king is not supposed to take sannyas, because his entire life has been in mode of passion, and sannyas life needs a deeply rooted mode of goodness. And then he enters his Vanaprastha life. And Srila Prabhupada says most of the time that Vanaprastha life is the official way to separate in a relation. You need not take divorce. It is an official way to part apart in a relation. And gradually both of them are given their own space and nobody interferes in your life. So he leaves to jungle. All people are crying because he is their only shelter. And then he performs intense tapasya. And in this chapter, 18th shloka, we see that he leaves this world. Now, after 9 chapters are over, in the 19th shloka of this chapter, Shukdev Goswami is saying that King Prithu had a wife and her name was Archi. So Archie's name comes hardly somewhere, starting when both of them come from the body of Vain. That time once her name is there and in between two times. Entire 9 chapters don't carry her name anywhere. And here, just to remind the audience that Baba, there is another personality who also was there with him in jungle. So he reminded that, he's saying that he had a wife named Archi. And now in the 19th shloka, he's 19th and 4 shlokas ahead of that, he will be glorifying and highlighting on the personality of Mata Archi, the queen of Prithu Maharaj. And these 4 verses are sufficient. 4 verses are exclusively sufficient to glorify her character. We'll try and elaborate these 4 shlokas in whatever little way I can. But that in itself is sufficiently, superly sufficient to to highlight her feminine qualities. Just like, let's start from the 19th shloka where she is termed as Sukumari. Sukumari means she is not at all fit to stay in the forest life. Prabhupada is writing, she never touched her feet on ground. Ground means not ground in terms, on hard ground, where there are thorns, where there are pebbles. She has been only and only walking on the smoothest of the surface. Just like this beautiful pastime comes in there in Vrindavan when the pastime of pili poker takes place. Radharani, when Mother Yashoda, she feels that Radharani should become her daughter-in-law. She should marry Krishna. And Radharani understands this emotion of, and she becomes very shy. And at that time, Mother Yashoda puts haldi on her hand. And she is very shy. And Mother Yashoda, in great affection for Radharani, she picks up Radharani. Then the acharyas write why she picked. Because once what happened, when Radharani came for cooking for Krishna, Mother Yashoda saw that this girl is very delicate. Her feet are very delicate. So what she did, she covered the entire pathway with petals of flowers, the softest of the flowers. But as soon as Radharani put her first step, her feet were pricked so badly that they became red. So Mother Yashoda felt very sad. Array, she's so soft and tender. So what she did, she made one more road which was exclusively built of pollen. You know, pollen, they are very soft. Even if you touch it, breaks. Softest of the thing in the flower is the pollen. She made a road of pollen. And when Radharani placed her feet on that pollen path, still her feet were feeling such great pain. So can you imagine the amount of softness that her body had? And when Mother Yashoda saw that she is so soft and she is so delicate, she picked her up and took her inside her house. So that is the delicate nature of her feminine body. And that is what Prabhupada is saying. She is Sukumari. She is not accustomed to austerity or tapasya. And that is why when she comes with her husband and starts practicing austerity, she has become thin. But in the next shloka, it is said that in spite of all this, she was happy and satisfied. How and why? Because she was deriving great pleasure in serving her husband. Now somebody may ask why? Because she was getting nourished in that service to her husband. Even though her body was weak, but her mind was strong and satisfied. Just like in 3rd canto, 21st chapter, 46th shloka, when Swayambhu Manu comes to see Kardam Muni, very beautiful shloka. He is saying, Vidyutamanam Vapusu. What does Swayambhu Manu sees when he sees the sitting posture of Kardam Muni? Vidyutamanam Vapusu. His Vapu, his body was like dazzling, bright. Tapasa Ugra Yujachiram. He had performed tapasya for a long time. But in spite of such harsh tapasya, his body was shining. It was not weak. Why? न अति क्षामं भगवत स्निग्ध अपांग अवलोकनात् बिकॉज ही वॉज कॉन्स्टेंटली नरिश्ड बाय दिस लाइट लॉन्ग ग्लांसेस ऑफ द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड स्निग्ध अपांग अवलोकनात् एंड ऑन टॉप ऑफ दैट तद्व्यर्थ अमृत कला पीयूष श्रवणेन च ही वॉज सेइंग दैट ही कुड हियर द ब्यूटिफुल वर्ड्स विच वर लाइक अमृत विच वर लाइक नेक्टर because before Swayambhu Manu coming there, Lord Vishnu had given him darshan, which was constantly nourishing him. So constant connection to the source of nourishment is must, then all austerities, we will never feel that they are austerities. We will nourish, we will get nourished by those austerities also. So in the 21st shloka, her mental state where she is separated from her husband is mentioned. What was her state when her husband left her? Now, can you imagine one lady who is so soft and so tender-hearted and she has never gone out of the palace. She is alone there in the forest, not knowing what has happened. Her husband has left her alone. What do you think would be the state of mind of that lady? She is feeling gratitude to her husband. Daitasya, he is saying, my husband is so merciful to me, to earth, to the citizens who are tortured by vain. He is so merciful. She is remembering the merciful nature. She is grateful that I had a husband like this. Even in the 10th canto, if you see, Lord Krishna expands himself into 16,000. Why? For whom? For what purpose? Exclusively for the princess who were completely rejected. And throughout their life, they are so grateful to Krishna that it is said that when they used to sleep at night, they were cursing themselves that we are not able to serve the Lord who has done so much for us. So her mindset is that she is grateful. Second thing, she didn't lament for long that my husband is no more. Which shows three things that she is well versed with the truth that this body is not immortal, it is surely to die someday. Second thing, she is deeply rooted in this truth. And thirdly, she has completely accepted the truth. This shows the level of her advancement. Or most of the time what happens is, even after 10 years or 15 years of practice, most of us, when some difficulties come up, we say, why me? That means we are not deeply rooted in the philosophy, we have not completely accepted it. Just like we have one devotee couple and very well practicing, both are Brahmin initiated and totally into seva of the Lordships here. Last few years, 3-4 years ago, suddenly what happened, their son was in 12th standard, he went for swimming and I don't know, something happened and he lost his balance and he drowned in the water. And he lost his life. Now both of them were devastated because he was the only son. Now can you imagine this couple going through that severe trauma? But to the amazement of all the devotees, immediately as soon as all the rituals, the final rituals are over, next day, both husband and wife were seen in Mangalarti. And when somebody asked them, how is it? They said, Prabhuji, whatever had to happen. If not today, sometime else it would have happened. So for what is inevitable, why miss the service of the Lord? And that day, when they lost their son, that Mataji is writing her diary. In that diary, she is writing to Lord Govinda Dev that, my dear Lord, I know it is your will, and whatever is your will, we accept it. Speaking is very easy. Quoting this example is very easy. But this will happen only when we are deeply rooted and completely accepting the philosophy. And third is, when Prithu Maharaj left her alone in the forest, no one to take care of her, Archie's focus is that let me complete the final rites. Prithu Maharaj had complete faith in Mata Archie that she will take care of the final rites. He trusted her And that is why she was more concerned. She didn't keep on crying for a long time. Immediately, for a while, she cried. Yes, she expressed her emotion that I have lost association of such a great devotee. And immediately, she took bath, performed the final rites. So she was loyal even when her husband left her. She did all that was required for the benefit of the husband. And when she took bath, offered obeisances to the demigods, she built up a funeral pyre, circumambulated it, and then she entered the fire. So it is the qualities that are highlighted that makes a person more attractive. When Lord Ram was asked, my Lord, you could have, when Sita is gone, you could have created so many Sitas. Lord Ram said, it is not about Sita. It is about the qualities that she possesses. No person in the entire creation can have the set of qualities that she had. And when Hanumanji sees and has his dialogue with Mata Sita, he is completely confirmed. And he says, for this one Sita, even if the entire universe is destroyed and created millions of times, it is not worth it. She is far more superior. So to save one Sita, unlimited wars can be fought. Why? Because it is not about a person, it is about a qualified person. The qualities that are highlighted in a person. So the major problem in today's relationship is cheating. So what is cheating? We are focusing only on one aspect, that is sense enjoyment. Let's take three examples. First is Yayati and Devyani, which comes in the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Yayati Maharaj, he was not ready to give up. He borrowed the youth of his son. And even after enjoying for so long, then he said, it is not going. You have to forcefully give it up. And only then it will go. The focus is what? The focus is my senses, my enjoyment. Second is Kardam Rishi and Mata Devuti. What is the conclusion that Mata Devuti comes after the 100 years in the aerial mansion, traveling to all the best of the holiday spots in the entire creation? She is saying, Saham Bhagavato Nunam Vanchita Mayaya Dridam Yatvam Vimukti Dam Prapya Namumukshaya Vandana. She is saying, how foolish of me, Saham Bhagavato Nunam, my husband was a pure devotee, Vanchita Mayaya Dridam, I am being solidly cheated by Maya, Vanchita. Yatvam Vimukti Dam Prapya. Why I am solidly cheated? My husband was a Bhagavata. He could have given me Vimukti. Not Mukti. Vishishta Mukti. Vimukti Dam Prapya. But what foolish I am. I didn't go for it. Na Mumukshaya Vandanat. He could have delivered me from this Bandhan. But I am still in this entanglement of my family, my son, my husband, my house, my wife, this, that. Third example, Mata Sita. For a moment she felt that this deer is more pleasing to me than Shri Ram. Just for a moment, not for a long while, moment. And the entire episode changed. Divergent. Why? Because focusing on that one aspect of sense enjoyment. Of course, we are not speaking that all relations are perfect and nobody can make any mistake. No, if you see the life of Lord Shiva and Mata Parvati, 8th canto, if you see, Lord Shiva getting attracted to Mohini Murthy before Mother Parvati. But did Mata Parvati in anywhere, she is saying, she is putting a propaganda that now I want divorce from my husband, he is cheating, no? And when Mata Parvati, when she cursed Chitraketu Maharaj before Lord Shiva was silent. He didn't utter a word. Both understood the broader picture, and so both forgave each other in that situation, understanding the broader picture. So, a relationship, we are not saying that no mistakes at all. Yes, there are mistakes, and at times we have to forgive each other's mistakes. But then that relation should not be based on condition, just like in case of Shantanu Maharaj and Ganga Devi. Ganga Devi is putting a condition. If you break these rules, if you at any time dissatisfy me, I am leaving. That's it. And some time or the other, there will be a time when not all demands of somebody's senses or mind or intelligence or ego can be fulfilled. And that creates a small crack and the entire relation breaks down. And who was affected entirely? Bhishma. initial days were with mother, later initial half life with father, and the third part of his life entirely in fighting for the kingdom. So relationship based on conditions also don't survive long. Now you may say, how about Gandhari? Gandhari was selfless. No, Gandhari, Mahabharata explains, she had a personal desire. She felt that if I accept this proposal, there is a chance that I will become the queen of Hastinapur. There are some chances that I will become, and that is why she took. Again, what the same thing? Is the cheating, that my enjoyment I am focusing. So cheating means what? You pay more, but in return you get less. Gandhari felt she will become the queen, but what happened? She made such a huge mistake. All her sons were died, all property gone, nothing left. They were at the mercy of Yudhishthira Maharaj. So cheating means you pay more, but you get less. So that is what this entire purport Prabhupada is saying. We exchange our entire human life for four things: eating, mating, sleeping, defending, becoming rich. Maya says becoming rich, earn money, this, that. See, earning money is just one part of life. But if we make the entire focus of life earning money and enjoying this, eating, waiting, sleeping, defending, then we lose the opportunity, mumukshaya bandhanat, and achieve the rarest of the rare Krishna bhakti. And that is the same thing that this shloka is saying. Tesham durapam kim tu anya. Durapam means what? The most difficult thing to anya. Martya. A martya means anyone who is sure to die. What should you do? You should try for what? Durapam. What is durapam? Bhagavat padam. The transcendental abode of Sri Hari. That he should. Why? Bhuvi lola yusho yeva. He is saying lola is pendulum. Pendulum moves from one place to another. How long does it stay in one place? It is the shortest of the time. Lola. The demigods are saying Martya, the people on the earthly planet, this is called Martya Loka. The people on the earthly planet, how long do they stay? Lola. Just like a oscillating pendulum stays in one place for just a microsecond, they are saying, Baba, your life is this much. So why don't you try for Durapam, that is Bhagavat Padam, that is the supreme abode. And how do you get that? Nishkarmyam. Sadhyati, engage in the devotional service, then you will get ready for the rarest thing that is available. Eating, mating, sleeping, defending, everywhere it is available. Take ants to Brahma, everywhere four things are available. But bhakti available only to the martyrs. Rest, no planetary system you can practice bhakti. Not available there. That is why it is said as the rarest of the rare, engaging in the devotional service. So if we do anything and everything but not devotional service, it is simply cheating ourselves. And that is what even Pingala in the 11th canto, what words she is using. Best of the words. Nunam me Bhagavan Prito Vishnu Kenapi Karmana Nirvedoyam Durashaya. What is she saying? Durashaya. I was stubborn that I will enjoy this material world. Durashaya. Yanme Jata Sukahavan. But she is saying, I became a great failure. And who is she? She is a Vaishya. She is a prostitute. Prostitute means she, in the initial shloka, this is the start. And in the starting shloka, she is saying, I was behind two things, sex and money. But at the end, what conclusion she is saying? She is saying it is all useless. And then she is saying, Bhagavan Prito, but see, I have been blessed by the Lord. How do you understand that I am blessed by the Lord? Nunam me Bhagavan Prito Vishnu Kenapi Karmana Nirvedo Yam. She is saying, now I am feeling detachment from this material world. That is a sign that I have pleased the Supreme Lord and He has blessed me. And that is where, and who was that person who blessed her with detachment? It was Lord of Dattatreya, whom, what she did for her, what little service? She just gave him water, some food and some place to stay outside her house. That's it. And Lord Dattatreya blessed her with nirvedo, detachment. And that is where she shares her beautiful realization. Santam samipe ramanam rati pradam vitta pradam nityam vihaya akamadam dukkha bhayadi shoka मोह प्रथम तुच्छ अहम भजेज्ञ. ही सेइंग द एंटायर लाइफ रति प्रथम द वन हु कुड हैव गिवन मी द टॉप मोस्ट ऑफ द एंजॉयमेंट आई लेफ्ट हिम फॉर व्हाट वित्त मनी एंड सेंस एंजॉयमेंट एंड व्हाट डिड आई गेट इन रिटर्न दुख भय एंड शोक. Who I was serving? Those who could send, who could satisfy my senses only for a minute or a fraction of a minute. But I forgot Shri Hari, who could satisfy my senses totally. And in 11.8.35, she shares what has to be done now. She is saying, Surit Preshthat Mano Nath Atma Chayam Sharirinam. She's saying, for all the shariri, the embodied living who have taken a body, Surit, the well-wishing friend, Preshtatama, the most dear one, Natha, the only shelter of the shariri, is nobody but the Supreme Lord who is within the heart. Within the heart. And how to vikriya, how to purchase him? Atmana eva, you have to totally surrender to him. And then she is giving an example. What example she is giving? Rame anena yatha ram. She is saying that Rame means I will enjoy anena with the Supreme Lord yatha, just like Rama, just like Lakshmi Devi is enjoying with the Supreme Lord, I will enjoy with her. In the further shloka, Mata Arjuna is also compared to Lakshmi Devi, how she is serving, how she served her husband. And that is why Shukdev Goswami is saying that this is one shloka that comes in the second 2-37. Pibanti ye bhagavata atmana satam kathamritam shravana puteshu samritam punanti te vidu vishaya vidushitashe. Dushit is impure. Vidushit is completely impure. Ashaya is the goal. What is saying? The impure goal of material enjoyment can only go away when punanti means purified, when pibantiye bhagavata atmana satam kathamritam shravana puteshu. When you hear about the message of the Supreme Lord, this impure goal of material enjoyment, thinking that sense pleasure will give me happiness, will only go when we continuously hear the glories of Supreme Lord. And that is where this Lakshmi Devi enjoying example is coming. Why? Because she is completely surrendered. Just like she is saying that I will completely surrender. Lakshmi Devi example, why she it is given? Because she completely surrendered in her words, action and thoughts in the service of the Supreme Lord. That is why the demigoddesses are glorifying Mata Archi, that she has served her husband with mind, body and speech exactly as the Supreme Goddess serve the Supreme Lord Yagyesh. So he's comparing her to Mata Lakshmi, the most chaste lady. No one other than her can serve the Supreme Lord better. So chastity is the highlight of a lady's life. Loyalty. Just like we have this example of Srila Jayadev Goswami's wife Padmavati. So Jayadev Goswami was serving the king, and Mata Padmavati and the king's wife both were very good friends. So one day what happened, the king's brother died, and the queen was feeling very bad that now my brother's wife will have to go sati, because that time this ritual was very prevalent. So she was feeling so sad, and then she shares her emotion with Mata Padmavati that now she will have to go sati. And Mata Padmavati, she says, what's the great deal? A chaste wife, on hearing that her husband has left, immediately, if she is completely surrendered to her husband, she will at that spot leave her body. And the king, queen gets furious. She said, do you think that you are such a great sati? She doesn't say anything. Mata Padmavati, she leaves. One day, the queen wants to test whether this Padmavati is really that chaste. And just to test her, she just speaks, she just sends a message through a messenger that Jayadev Goswami, Srila Jayadev Goswami has died. And when this news reaches Mata Padmavati, as soon as she hears, immediately she leaves her body. And when the queen comes to understand, comes to know that she has really left her body, she is so scared, she calls Jayadeva Goswami and tells her that, I just wanted to test, but she in really is so surrendered to you that she left her body. And then Srila Jayadeva Goswami chants the names of Krishna in her ears, and then immediately she comes back to life. So chastity is the highlight of Mata Lakshmi. That is why she is called as Sati. So on this auspicious, today we have a very auspicious occasion, appearance day of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. But if you see Lord Chaitanya's visit to Srirangam, Lord Chaitanya has a different opinion about Mata Lakshmi. When Lord Chaitanya is in Srirangam, he questions Venkat Bhatt, who is the devout follower of Lakshmi Narayan. He says, your Lakshmi Devi desired to leave her husband Narayan and enter the Ras Leela of our Krishna. But do you know that she was not allowed? She is still not allowed. She is still doing tapasya. Upanishads were allowed, but she is not allowed. And then Venkat Bhatta doesn't know how to reply to this question, because that's the reality. And Venkat Bhatta says, but my Lord, Narayan and Krishna are same. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, we are same, but still she is not allowed. And then Lord Chaitanya explains through the angle of rasa vichar that the mood of service was not matching. Vrindavan is sweetness and beauty, but Vaikuntha mood is what? Power and opulence. So she wanted to enter Ras Leela, which is sweetness and beauty, with the mood of Vaikuntha. She wanted to be the same Lakshmi who has been fanned and with all royal opulence. But Vrindavan is only sweet and simple, where all the Gopikas, Brajavadus, doing what? Milking the cows, making cow dung paddies, cooking food, simple living. So the mood was incompatible. But here in this life of Mata Archi, we see that she is completely compatible with the mood of her husband. So Mata Archi, in the entire four shlokas, we'll see that she served and assisted her husband. She also performed tapasya, austerity with her husband, but still she was happy because she was completely compatible in nature with her husband. So nature has certain expectation from both men and women. Man is supposed to take the physical task and woman is supposed to assist him to grow. For example, if you see in India, when there is a marriage ceremony, they throw rice on the bride and the bridegroom. So I asked one Purohit, I asked him, why do you throw this rice? Do you have any significance? He gave a very wonderful example. He says, if you see rice is sown twice. It grows in certain place, it takes nourishment from certain place and grows in another place. If you put rice in one place, you will never get rice. It's the nature of rice. Initially, it will take all its nutrition from one place and grow in other place. Similarly, a girl or a woman, she grows and takes nourishment from her parents' place, and with that nourishment she goes to other place and there she makes the entire community grow and flourish. And not only that, she continues the lineage of that family also. So that is why they throw rice as a significant, that it signifies this aspect that is exclusively given for a lady. That how is the nature of a lady? That is why Krishna has shared some of his best qualities with women. Just like in 10.34, Krishna is saying, Mrityu sarva harascham udbhavascha bhavishyata kirti shrivakcha narinam smritir medha dhritikshama. Seven qualities Krishna is saying that these are the highlight of a feminine gender. What is that? Kirti, that is fame. Shri, that is beauty. Vak, fine speech. Smriti, that is memory. Medha, that is intelligence, discrimination. Dhriti, firmness. Yes, this has to be done means has to be done. That firmness is there. And Shama, this is the topmost, which Krishna doesn't share with a man. Krishna has given exclusively to the feminine gender. That is why we see in Draupadi's case, that is the natural quality that Krishna has given. She says, what pain I am going, I don't want Ashwatthama's mother to suffer. Kshama, that patience, that forgiveness is the highlight of the feminine gender. So through this entire 4-5 shlokas of Mata Archi, we have to understand what is the nature of a woman. And I'll end with this last point. This is from Sir William Golding, who is a Nobel Prize laureate of literature. He says you have to understand a woman's nature very nicely. Otherwise, the entire society will be nothing but ruins. In beautiful words, he has explained. He is saying, I think women are foolish. He is starting by saying, I think women are foolish to pretend, to think that they are equal to men. Starting is, I think women are foolish to pretend, to think that they are equal to men. But I think they are far superior and are always being superior. Now he gives beautiful example, simple example, but very profound example. He is saying, whatever you give a woman, she will make it greater. If you give her a seed, she will give you a baby. If you give her a house, she will give you a home. If you give her groceries, she will give you a meal. If you give her a smile, she will give you a heart. She multiplies and enlarges what is given to her. So if you give her rubbish, be ready to receive a ton of garbage. And this is the point that the modern society is missing. And that is why this role models or this life of this great saints, may that be men or women, have to be continuously hammered so that the coming generation of our organization grow up with these role models. Not the role model of what the outside society is showing us. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantharashtra Bhagavatam ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. Agushita Srila Prabhupada. Very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, you were saying about the cheating. So, cheating is supposed to be like getting more from someone, giving return less.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanavad Pranam. Very, very beautiful class and very nice narration of little background of about Arichi. If I'm pronouncing correct, Prabhuji, if I'm wrong in pronouncing name, please forgive me. And thank you so much, Prabhu, for telling the importance of about the Vanaprastha and also about the woman, how woman is like a rice field. You are telling about the glorification of women, quality of women. It was very nice, Prabhuji. All the examples that you have given, it was so nice, so beautiful, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, if no one has any question, can you speak about the Ramchandra
Kaviraj
and
Balvatra Goswami? We have 5 more minutes, so I'll tell something in 5 minutes.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay. So today we have appearance day of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And actually, we will be celebrating it tomorrow. There, I think it is today. So, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he is very less spoken in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but he has been the very prominent Sikh Swamis, and he is from the Shri Sampradaya. He has taken his diksha from his uncle, Prabhudananda Saraswati. So Lord Chaitanya, when he was there, that is the time when Lord Chaitanya stayed at Gopal Bhatta Goswami's father's house, and the interaction takes place, and this is the time when he sees Lord Chaitanya face to face. And he is so attached to Lord Chaitanya that when Lord Chaitanya is about to leave his house, so he faints at that time. And Lord Chaitanya understands that he is completely attached and he wants to serve him. But then Lord Chaitanya gives him a personal instruction. Saying that you don't get married, but you stay with your parents to Vrindavan and then you serve Lord Krishna there in Vrindavan. So at the age of 30, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he came in Vrindavan, and after that he stayed in Vrindavan for almost 45 years. So that makes, he lived in this planet for almost 75 years. Most of the time he was staying in Radhakund, his bhajan kutir is also there. And when the first time when he comes to Vrindavan, and Lord Chaitanya, message is sent to Lord Chaitanya that Gopal Bhatta Goswami arrived in Vrindavan, and then Lord Chaitanya gives him his personal kopin and the Babaji cloth. So the Babaji Diksha, or the Sanyas Diksha we can say, is given personally by Lord Chaitanya to Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami was supposed to be the youngest of the Goswamis at that time. But if you see the interaction between Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Sanatan Goswami and Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So when Jiva Goswami is writing his commentary on the Shad Sandarbha, which is a treatise given by Srila Gopala Bhatta Goswami. So there he mentions that this treatise is given to us by our dear devotee who is from South India, at whose place Lord Chaitanya stays, and he is the most dear friend of my Guru Maharaj Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatan Goswami. So there was a deep intimate bonding between Gopal Bhatta Goswami, that most of the time even Sanatan Goswami used to consider him as his dear friend. And Rupa Goswami mentions about Gopal Bhatta Goswami as his dear friend. So that was the loving relation that all the three Goswamis, senior Goswamis, shared with him. And the love of Srila Sanatan Goswami for Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami was so deep that Srila Sanatan Goswami, when he wrote one book, I exactly don't remember the name, he gave the author of the book is not me, but it is Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So that is the love that Srila Sanatan Goswami had for Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And we all know that he had 12 Shaligram Shilas, out of which the Govinda Shila became our Radha Ramanji a day before Narasimha Chaturthi, and that is the appearance day of our Radha Ramanji. So if we see, we have three main deities in our Sampradaya. We have Sambandha, Abhidey and Prayojan. We have Madan Mohan, Govindaji and Gopinath. So when all these three deities were made, Mata Uttara was there. So she said, Madan Mohan's feet are exactly like Krishna. She said, Govindji's chest is like Krishna. And Gopinathji's face is like Krishna. But neither of the three deities had the entire structure of Krishna coming in. So Radha Raman, when all the six Goswamis, they got the news that Gopal Bhatta Goswami, the Lord has revealed himself in the form of Radha Raman. So when they all went there, they could see the feet of Madan Mohan, they could see the chest of Govindji and the face of Gopinath. So Krishna, if you want to see how he looks in Golok Vrindavan, is exactly the way Radha Raman is. Means Radha Raman and Goloknath Krishna, they are not different, they are one and the same. And most of the time, this beautiful form of Krishna in the form of Radharaman is so beautiful. Sometimes two teeth are seen, sometimes only one teeth is seen, sometimes two teeth are seen. So the Lord manifests His Leela. And one time what happened was, when Gopal Bhatta Goswami handed over the service of Radharaman to his pujaris, the future generation. So one time the pujari's son, he thought that it's just a doll to play. So what he did, he took a straw and he inserted it in the ears of Radharaman from one side to other. And when he removed the straw, he could see blood in that. And that night itself, the son of that pujari, he died by vomiting blood. So there are so many pastimes that have taken place. And also today we have one more Acharya, Ramachandra Kaviraj, whose disappearance day we are celebrating today. And Ramachandra Kaviraj is the disciple of Acharya Srinivas. Srinivas Prabhu is his spiritual master. So when they see each other for the first time, now Ramachandra Kaviraj was a Shakta, he was a devout follower of Mata Durga. He was a Kali Bhakta. But when for the first time he is going through a marriage procession, and on the other side Srinivas Acharya and his disciples are sitting and discussing Bhagavat, for the first time when Srinivas Acharya and Ramachandra Kaviraj, they see each other, they are totally absorbed in each other's thought. Ramachandra Kaviraj goes back to his house, Srinivas Acharya is staying in his house. But that entire night, both of them were not able to sleep because they are totally absorbed in thinking about who is this person. And that night, Ramachandra Kaviraj, he feels that I have to go back and meet this person. And that is where next morning, early morning, he goes there and meets our Srinivas Acharya. And Srinivas Acharya tells him that, yes, we are connected not from this place, but we are connected from the spiritual world. And Srinivas Acharya trains him into the Vaishnava philosophy, and he accepts Diksha. Now the best part is, Srinivas Acharya is the guru of Sri Ramachandra Kaviraj. And Narottam Das Thakur is the, you can say, godbrother, not godbrother, but they are the Samakalin. They have acted just like brothers. So they are both like godbrothers. But if you see, Narottam Das Thakur was more attached to Ramachandra Kaviraj. There is one bhajan in which Narottam Das Thakur says, Ramachandra Sangamange Narottam Das. I am so fascinated by the personality and the beauty of Ramachandra Kaviraj that I constantly want to hear Krishna Katha from him. So that was the nature of Ramachandra Kaviraj. He was an excellent Sanskrit scholar. And later on he propagated. There was one time when Srinivas Acharya entered in deep trance. For days together he was in trance. So his wife became worried. So they called Ramachandra Kaviraj and tried to see. So Ramachandra Kaviraj could see no bodily symptoms active in the body of. But only he could see that a small thread was moving when he kept it in front of his nose. At that time, he realized that he has already reached Golok. So he sits near him, enters Samadhi, goes into Golok, and there he searches out where is his guru, Srinivas Acharya. So Srinivas Acharya, there he sees that he is a Manjiri and searching for the nose ring of Radharani. And then Ramachandra Kaviraj also enters the pond and then he brings out the nose ring of Srimati Radharani. Now he could have directly given it to Radharani, but no, he says no, the parampara should follow. I'll give it to my guru. Then he gives it to Srinivas Acharya as a Manjiri, and then Srinivas Acharya gives it to Rupa Manjiri. Rupa Manjiri then gives it to Lalita Devi, and then Lalita Devi gives it to Srimati Radharani. And then when Srimati Radharani sees that both of them have come here, then the service is done, she blesses them profusely and then tells them that you please go back. Both of them are not ready. Then Radharani is pleading both of them, please go because your service is not complete. What service? Service of preaching. So both of you please go, complete your service of preaching and come back. So this is what we want to highlight from their life, that whom is the divine couple banking on? Those who have come down to preach. Similarly, whom is Srila Prabhupada banking on? Whom is Srila Prabhupada telling the entire world that this mission of Krishna consciousness will flourish? It is we all. Prabhupada is not banking on anybody else. It is we all with whom Prabhupada is banking and telling the parampara that I'll conquer the 10,000 years of Kali Yuga and preach boldly the message of Lord Chaitanya. So this is the short narration of both the acharyas. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you very much for revealing this. Thank you. Hare Krishna. This is Kamaliki Vasi.
Thank you. Yes, Madhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Thank you for the beautiful class. For the last story that you said, I have heard one of the Mataji explain that Radharani had given her chewed paan to them, and they, when they came back to their mortal body, that fragrance was there and everybody shared that remnant of Radharani. Would you please confirm?
Can you repeat the last part, Mataji? I couldn't hear you.
When they were there and they, when the nose ring was found, so as a prasadam, as a blessing, Radharani gave the chewed paan of her paan to the guru and the shishya. When they came back and they had tied it in their dhoti, so when they came back into their mortal body, everybody could smell that fragrance of the paan. It was so beautifully smelling around, and then they opened their dhoti and then they shared that chewed paan of Radha.
Yes, Mataji, that could. I have heard it, but I exactly don't remember the entire thing. That is why I didn't quote it.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Very nice admiration of beautiful pastimes. And thank you so much for the summarizing the entire pastime of Prithu Maharaj.
Jai Grantha Bhagavatam Jai